your retirement plans are on track, or do you just hope they are? Maybe it's time for a checkup. Hi, I'm Rob West. At least one study shows that many people aren't aware of how much they need to save and will likely fall short of their goals. I'll talk about that first today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Okay, the survey I mentioned was done by Fidelity Investments with over 1,200 respondents. It showed that a great number of them lack understanding of five key components of investing. Now, as we go through them, you might find you've been laboring under some of these misconceptions. But don't worry, it just means you have to make some adjustments, which is what a checkup is all about. The first misconception involves your basic retirement nest egg. Many financial advisors will tell you that by the time you retire, you should have 10 to 12 times your last year's income in your portfolio. Of course, that amount will vary based on several factors, like how frugal you are, your retirement expenses, and life expectancy. The survey showed that far too many people underestimate how much they'll need in their retirement savings. Only one out of four respondents knew the actual number, and about half thought they'd only need five times their salary in savings. That means a lot of people are on track to start retirement with far less savings than they'll need. But that's not all. The next mistake those retirees are likely to make concerns how much to withdraw from those savings each year during retirement. You regular listeners know we always recommend the 4% rule. That's the amount you can safely withdraw each year without dipping into your principal. Now, some advisors will tell you as much as 6%, but that's risky. Still, more than a quarter of the respondents believe they could withdraw, are you ready for this? Up to 10 to 15% of their savings each year, or 2 to 3 times the safe amount. Doing that would mean in most years you'd be dipping deeply into your principal. Before long, you'd have to drastically reduce your lifestyle or return to the workforce. Now, the next misconception involves the history of the stock market and assuming the market will be down more than it's up. You can always pick a range of years when the market shows negative returns, but overall, the market tends to move higher. Think about it. If that weren't the case, people wouldn't invest in stocks at all. Now, few of us could expect to live 35 years after retiring, but over the last 3.5 decades, the market has ended up 26 out of those 35 years. But a whopping 75% of respondents incorrectly believed the market had been down more years than up during that time. And because of that, they may move too much of their portfolio out of stocks as they near retirement and during their retirement years. Yes, you want to rebalance your portfolio as the years go on, reducing the percentage held in mutual funds and stocks. But unless you're completely risk averse, you should never be completely out of the market, even during retirement, because that smaller percentage of your portfolio will almost certainly produce greater gains than bonds will over a long period. Okay, that's enough about retirement savings. The next misconception many folks have involves healthcare, specifically how expensive it will be during retirement. The survey revealed that more than a third of respondents significantly underestimated their out-of-pocket healthcare expenses during their retirement years. They guessed the average retired couple would spend a total of $50,000 to $100,000 on healthcare, but the insurance industry estimates the number is much higher than that. So make sure you have adequate coverage and don't rely too much on Medicare. It doesn't pay for everything. Our last misconception involves the full retirement age for Social Security. For most folks, that's 66 or 67, depending on when you were born. But surprisingly, fewer than 1 out of 5 respondents knew their correct full retirement age for Social Security. You can start receiving benefits as early as age 62, but that will cost you 8% in reduced benefits for each year you take benefits before your full retirement age, and that reduction is permanent. So you have to think carefully before choosing to receive Social Security benefits. It's important to check your statements to determine your full retirement age. But you can look at it from a positive perspective, too. Delaying will get you about 8% more in benefits for each year you wait up to age 70. Well, that's your retirement checkup. Armed with the facts, you can tweak your retirement plans to make sure you're on track. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Royalty. We don't tend to think of them so much as authority figures anymore, do we? Take the royal family in Britain. We follow what they do, we know their histories and relationships, their successes, their failures, and we attend their weddings, at least from miles away, on a screen like TV or a computer, but they don't lead and guide us. Instead, Christians have a much better king, the Lord Jesus Christ. As the old prophecy from Genesis tells us, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. What a ruler! What a savior! What a God! Go deeper in God's Word daily with Anchor Devotional. Try it out at getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White.
Hannah took her pain to God, and God heard her and was with her.
Hannah's Heart helps couples process infertility and miscarriage through a biblical lens. Join us Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. Find the podcast at afr.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
I'm so grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's time to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. 800-525-7000. Maybe you have a question you've been wrestling with today, financially speaking, and you'd love to share it with us. I'd be happy to weigh in and help you apply biblical, timeless wisdom to your situation. Very practically as well. Again, 800-525-7000. Perhaps you have a testimony today as well. How has God been working in your life, perhaps recently over a long period of time as you've applied principles from God's Word? We'd love to hear those stories as well. And, you know, we began today by talking about retirement, specifically a retirement checkup. How are you doing in saving for retirement? Well, what is a biblical worldview of retirement? Are we taking our cues from the world in this modern view of retirement that it seems is more common these days, or is there a more biblical perspective? I'll share my thoughts on that a little later in the broadcast. Also, Jerry Boyer stops by and joins us today with his market commentary. He'll tell us what he's watching economically speaking over the past week and help us look forward as well. So let's head to the phones today. We're going to begin in, Arkansas. Hi, Kel. Go right ahead. How can I help?
Yes, sir. I noticed that you talked a lot about certified kingdom advisors, and I wanted to ask you, what does that entail, like, for a person that they are passionate about finances and they want to help God's people with finances and leading them and guiding them in the right way with investments? How does a person get involved with something like that if they want to go into that type of career?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking, Kel. It's a growing segment of the financial. You know, one of the things that's happening in financial services right now, which I think is a really exciting trend, is that advisors are more frequently specializing in the market segments that they serve, because more and more the investment products are becoming commoditized. Everybody has access to the same products and tools. The real value add from the advisor is often around the differentiated advice that they can bring, and more specifically tailored to the unique needs of the clients. And so when you talk about believers, God's people, and how they're viewing their wealth, having an advisor who understands the heart of God, is steeped in the counsel of Scripture as it relates to money management and professional financial decision-making is really critical, so that the Christian has the opportunity to align their values and priorities as believers with the advice that they're receiving, and even, based on their convictions, their investment selections. So that's where Certified Kingdom Advisor comes in. It's really the gold standard in the financial services world among all of the designations, and CKA is specifically for those advisors, men and women, who really want to specialize in bringing a biblical worldview of financial decision-making to their clients. How do they go about getting it? Well, it's issued by Kingdom Advisors, a non-for-profit, and it has a host of requirements. It's a high standard, but it starts with the CKA educational program, which is about a 50-hour university-based course that's meant to build on a base of competency as a financial advisor, but add really that specialization in understanding how to bring a biblical worldview of financial decision-making to their clients. Once they complete that educational program and pass the proctored exam, in order to receive the designation, they would also have to get a pastor reference, client references, sign a statement of faith, sign a code of ethics. They have to meet an experience requirement of either 10 years in the business or one of several approved industry designations to evidence their competency. And then there's also a regulatory review just to see if they have any disclosures in their regulatory past with regard to the financial services industry, any blemishes on their regulatory history that would cause the organization to have pause in issuing the designation. But assuming they meet all of those criteria, then they receive the CKA designation, and as long as they recertify that every year with continuing education, then they can maintain that. The place to learn more, Kel, is at kingdomadvisors.com. Kingdomadvisors.com. You would just click Get Certified, and you could read all about the educational program plus all of the requirements. Is that helpful?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It helps out a lot.
Good. Well, I'm glad you're interested. You know, this is a growing field and really an exciting space, because here's the reality. For an advisor, this is a game changer in terms of how they approach their business, because now they can do the business of financial advice, which is a growing profession among all of the professions the Department of Labor tracks. But the exciting thing is now they can do it in a way that brings kingdom impact with them, so they can pursue client success and also kingdom impact at the same time, because the reality is money issues are hard issues. And so a financial advisor actually has a unique window into his or her client's life around the money conversation, which is really about so much more than just money. As Larry Burkett used to say, money and the way we handle it is the clearest indicator into what's going on in someone's life spiritually. And so that opportunity to lean into their client relationships, help them look at money through God's eyes, ask different questions, which will often lead to different outcomes, and help to bring the heart of God to bear around their stewardship, is just an incredible opportunity for kingdom impact. So it really makes the advisor's practice their ministry, which is a game changer in terms of how they view the work that they do. So thanks for asking about that, Kel. Again, kingdomadvisors.com is the place to go. All right, let's head to Burlington, Vermont. Hi, Ann. Go right ahead.
Hello, Rob. I just wanted to ask about my emergency fund. I'm at a point in life where I can fully fund a nice emergency fund, and I went to the bank, and they would like to see me invest at least part of it in maybe a CD or something of that nature. And I'm thinking if it's an emergency fund, it needs to be completely liquid in case I need it. So I just wanted to hear your opinion on that.
Yeah, I would concur with you on that. And really, by definition, an emergency fund is funds that are liquid, readily accessible, because the whole purpose of an emergency fund is it's for the unexpected. And so if we're going to have funds to cover something unexpected, by definition, we don't know when that's going to happen. And therefore, the money needs to be readily available. And if it's tied up in either investments that have the ability to lose value, and therefore we'd be selling at a loss, or if it's locked up for a period of time in something like a CD, that really defeats the purpose of an emergency fund. So what I would rather see you do is, and I'm delighted to hear you've got those funds now set aside, because that will just really go a long way to ensuring you don't ever have any credit card debt and you're ready for the unexpected. What I would do is put it in an online savings account. You know, right now they're paying nearly 4% just because of where interest rates are today, completely liquid without any fees whatsoever. You know, you'll find plenty of them at 3.75% right now. So what I would do is open one of those online savings account with perhaps Marcus at Marcus.com or Capital One 360, link it to your checking account, your where you pay your bills, keep it there so it's separate, but you're no more than a day or two away from transferring money in if you need it, and that's free of charge. And again, you'd be earning some interest while you're waiting, but it would keep it completely liquid. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense.
Good. Very good. Well, thanks for calling today. And again, those online savings accounts, not only are they fee-free, but you're going to get a really good interest rate versus the brick and mortar where you won't. 800-525-7000. Give us a call right now and we'll be right back.
Prior to birth, children need our help. Read A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life by Pastor Joseph Parker.
We are called this day to stand for the innocent and speak out on their behalf.
This collection of essays by Pastor Joseph challenges us to take a public stand to protect the lives of the unborn. A Pastor's Notes is available now at resources.afa.net.
The body of Jesus Christ must speak up.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit kingdomadvisors.com. That's kingdomadvisors.com.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, and they were very caring. What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance Live. Hey, have you downloaded the Faith and Finance app? Well, it's called FaithFi. And right there in that app, there's three different approaches to managing your money. That's right. One of them is going to be just what you're looking for. There's our hands-off approach where you're just tracking only. It's going to help you just get a directional picture of where your spending is going each month. There's kind of a middle-of-the-road approach where you can set up a budget and then track against it. But again, that's just for you to keep a bird's-eye view on what's happening. By the way, all of these transactions can be downloaded automatically from your banks securely. But then our third, more hands-on approach is the digital envelope system, where you literally set up your budget, create an envelope for each spending category. You fund those envelopes electronically through the app with your spending accounts. So you'd see exactly what's in each envelope, and then the transactions come in automatically. So at any moment, you can pull up any one of your envelopes and see what's left. So when you get to zero, you can stop spending for the month until it's refunded. By the way, all of this happens automatically in the background. It's a simple interface, easy to use, and it might be just what you're looking for to stay on budget. So if you'd like to check it out, just head to our website. That's probably the easiest place to learn more, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com, and click app and let us know what you think. All right, all the lines are full, so let's keep going here. Lisette, you called yesterday with a testimony. We were grateful to hear that, but you have a question today in Houston. Tell us what you're thinking about.
Yes, good morning, Mr. West. I did, and I'm sorry I couldn't even finish. I was so emotional, but I have a question. My husband and I, we both have Roth IRA, 401k Roth IRA.
Okay.
And we haven't contributed for the last 3 years. And my husband is thinking of closing it. So I told him we probably should wait, see if we can find something. I don't know. It wasn't a good idea for me to close the account.
I see.
So tax deferred.
Yeah, let me make sure I understand what you've got. Is it a Roth 401k or IRA?
I'm sorry. Roth, 401k Roth IRA from work. We were able to convert for.
Okay, so it was opened by your employer, and you funded it with salary deferral, so the money came out of your paycheck. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, and then is it still there with the plan administrator from your company, or did you roll it out to a Roth IRA?
We did transfer to Roth IRA, yes.
Okay, very good. And then did you take a withdrawal from it, or is it still in the Roth IRA?
No, we haven't taken any money from it.
Okay, all right. And there's just one Roth IRA, or do you each have one?
We each one have one each individual.
Okay, very good. And what is the balance roughly in each of them?
I think mine has about $5,000, and his is about $3,000.
Okay, very good. Now, I've got the lay of the land here, so tell me what you're thinking. Was your husband suggesting you just take the money out?
Yeah, he said about have it closed and use it to pay to use a down payment for to buy my car. Told him not to because it's tax deferred, so we probably have to pay penalties or lose a lot more than we have.
Yeah, what is your age?
I'm 54.
Okay, yeah. So you would have a penalty if you took it out. Has the money been in there 5 years?
Yes.
Okay.
A little bit.
Yeah. Great. All right. So you can pull out up to the amount that you put in.
So you've already paid tax on the portion that you put in because it's a Roth. So up to your total contributions in each of them, you could go ahead and pull the money out because the government's already got all the tax they're going to get. And so it's in their best interest for you to get it out as opposed to letting it continue to grow tax-free. Now, if you pulled out any of the gains, the investment gains, which are, you know, again, those are growing tax-free, and you do that before 59 and a half, that's where the penalty is going to come in. So at that point, I think the question is, you know, what is the purpose of that money? Do you have any other retirement accounts, Lisette?
We have a pension plan from work. I don't have any other retirement account.
All right. Do you have a sense of how much that pension will pay you per month when you get to retirement?
About $1,200
okay.
right now.
All right. And do you all have an estimate of what your Social Security will be when you get to that point?
No, I haven't.
Okay. All right. Well, here's my thought. I mean, obviously, this is money you have access to. And again, up to the amount you contributed in either of those, you could pull it out without any penalties and you could use that to buy the car. I think the question is, you know, what is the real purpose of this money? And we want to continue growing it for the future. So I wouldn't be thinking about pulling it out. I'd be thinking about adding to it so that over the next, you know, 10 years, let's say, between now and retirement, you all are able to build up a nice nest egg so that you've got Social Security, you've also got your pension, and you have these Roth IRAs that have been growing tax-free. And now that, you know, the combination of all of those, if you're debt-free and you keep your lifestyle modest, should fund your expenses in retirement. The question would be, if you didn't pull from this, how would you buy the car? Do you have any other savings that you could use?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I'm trying
to buy
my credit card debts and start funding my emergency account.
Yes. Those are both very important. Are you in need of this car pretty desperately right now?
I think I can still wait for another 6 months.
Okay. Yeah, I think that would be the key. I mean, car prices are coming down because, you know, they've been sky high with the chip shortages during the pandemic. There was a lack of inventory of new cars that pushed used cars up, you know, up 20% in on average their prices. We're starting to see those prices come down a bit just because some of the inventory constraints are being worked through the system. So I would say let's start saving for the next 6 months and see if you can delay that car purchase. If you had to, you could pull from this Roth IRA, but I guess I would love to see you guys leave that money there, let it get invested and grow for the next 10 years and try to fund the car purchase out of savings. Keep focused on those credit cards as well. We appreciate your call today, Lisette. God bless you. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All the lines are full, so let's continue to move through your questions and testimonies today. We'll head next to Ohio. Hi, Debbie. How can we help you today? Hi there.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
I had a question about I-bonds and the co-owner versus beneficiary. So my husband and I both have I-bonds, and we have each other as the co-owner.
Yeah.
So it doesn't let you do a secondary beneficiary. So if
That's
we
right.
would both pass away at the same time, what would happen to them?
Yeah, it's a great question. You are correct. You can only name one co-owner or one beneficiary at a time. You can't have both a co-owner and a beneficiary for the same I-bond. So if you and the second owner, in this case your husband, or in the same case, if you and a beneficiary die at the same time, the I-bonds would go to your estate. And then you would designate who gets the funds in your will. So it would pass through the probate process along with everything else in your estate that doesn't have a named beneficiary. And then it would be eventually distributed to whoever in your will should receive your assets after your, you know, debts are paid and that type of thing. Does that make sense?
Yes. Is there any way to handle that through a trust?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know if an I-bond can be titled in the name of a trust. I mean, typically a trust is a way to do that, to make sure that your assets are passed, outside of the probate process. And not only can you ensure that they happen outside the probate process, it's anonymous, not a part of the public record, and your trust could go into effect if you were incapacitated before death, or the assets could be distributed beyond your life by a trustee based on certain triggering events named in the trust documents. The question is, once you create a trust, a living trust, you have to retitle any assets in the name of the trust. And that's where I'm not totally sure, although my team could get an answer for us as to whether or not an I-bond can be put in the name of a trust. But if it was allowed, that would certainly be one way to do it. If not, and I suspect that's the case if I remember correctly, then you would have to just handle it through your will. Again, only if you and the co-owner or you and the beneficiary died at the same time.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I think that you can't, it has to be a person. It can't be an entity. So.
I believe that. I believe you're exactly right. I wanted to double check that, but yes, I believe that is the case.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your answer. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too, Debbie. Thanks for calling. God bless you. To Indiana. Hey, Jeff, how can I help you, sir?
How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your call.
Hey, I guess real quick, like retirement with Social Security, ages 62, 65, 67, you know, because 67 is the full retirement age. But let's say that I want to retire at 65.
Yeah.
And just for simplification, it's $1,000 a month. Well, if I wait till 67, I get more. But the thing is, at 65, I'm getting 2 years of $12,000 a year, which is $24,000.
That's right.
Versus the 67. So, and I'm only going to live till maybe 75. So would I be better off at taking it at 65 versus 67? So that's basically the gist of my question.
Yeah, and it's a great question, and it's one we all have to kind of think through, and it has to do with, you know, number one, we're dealing with the unknown at that point, because you're right, it's all about how long you're going to live, and none of us knows the answer to that question. The simple kind of math is that you're going to lose 8% of your benefits for each year you claim your benefit prior to full retirement age. So if you took it at 62, you'd have about a 32% permanent reduction on the benefit. The opposite of that is true. If you wait beyond full retirement age, you're going to increase it beyond what they're projecting your benefits will be based on your work record by 8% a year. Actually, it's 1/12 of 8% every month that it increases up to age 70. You know, the question is, what is the break-even point? And are you going to live that long? And really, we don't know. And so that's where we say, okay, are we in good health? Do we have longevity, you know, in our family? And, you know, what we realize, though, is that, you know, most folks, once you reach age 65, life expectancy increases to 82 for women and 82 for men, 83 for women. So, you know, time is really on your side, you know, if, on the average. And the question is, you know, at what, depending on how early you take it, that will determine how long you're going to need to wait so that that higher benefit check repays you for what you didn't take during those years you didn't start claiming. And once you've been repaid, which, you know, it could take as many as 12 years, depending on how, you know, early you take it, you will have been paid back for the amount you didn't get, and then you'll enjoy that higher check for the rest of your life. So it all comes down to just life expectancy at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out, is if I'm going to win, you know, basically by taking it earlier, or, you know, should I win by taking it later? That's the hard part.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think if you're in good health and you've got some longevity in your family, and we believe the Lord's going to tarry, and if he doesn't, it doesn't matter anyway, then I think, you know, for most folks, it does make sense, especially if they don't need the money right now, to let that continue to grow. Maybe they have other assets they can tap. Maybe they're going to continue to work because they just love what they do, and they believe God's called them to continue, you know, doing what they're doing. And so if you can delay it, getting that guaranteed 8% a year is something you're not going to find anywhere else, not in the stock market or anywhere else. So, you know, if you can get that check to build up, then once you start taking it, you enjoy that higher benefit amount. Maybe that helps you close the gap on, you know, any income you need to cover your expenses. Eventually, you'll be repaid for what you didn't take. And then, you know, for the rest of your life, you've got this higher check, which will be a nice blessing.
Right. Okay, I appreciate it. I didn't know what the percentage was. I haven't dove into it and spent a lot of time looking. So,
yeah,
thank you very much.
You are welcome. We appreciate your call very much. And if we can help you further along the way, let us know. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Before we head back to the phones, you know, we started today by talking about retirement and really a retirement checkup of sorts, looking at some recent data about retirement readiness on the part of Americans. But the question often comes from believers, well, what is a biblical perspective of retirement? You know, our modern concept of retirement isn't specifically a biblical concept. There's a narrow reference to retirement in the Bible in Numbers 8 with the Levitical priest, but that was in a very specific instance. I don't think we can apply that just across the board. You know, the cultural view of retirement is a modern concept. Before the 20th century, people worked as long as they could and then
came Social Security and pensions, and a retirement age at 65 became somewhat of an entitlement. Well, as believers, we need to remember our service to the Lord never ends. The Apostle John was writing and preaching in his 90s. Polycarp, the pastor of Smyrna, in the second century, served, quote, 80 and 6 years, and then he was martyred. So prudent savings is wise. We need to prepare for when we're physically unable to work, but we should retire to something, not from something, and realize God's calling on our life doesn't have an expiration. So we've got to balance that with a lot of prayer and wisdom. This is Faith and Finance. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Are you running away from God? Lots of things can cause people to turn their back on God. Maybe you feel God let you down. Maybe you got tangled in sin, or maybe you just got busy with life. Do you remember the story about the prodigal son in the Bible? When this wayward son returned home, he was met with open arms by his dad. That's the way your Heavenly Father feels about you. Come back to God. He's waiting for you. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
You've got Christians who love Jesus and they have kids and they're just like, I just don't know what my calling is.
Right.
Will and Mickey Addison.
What is it that Jesus wants me to do? I feel like I'm a teacher.
And that's that's why when you go to the scripture and talk about equipping the saints for work of ministry, you should look inside first. It can be right, you know, at your address.
Marriage, family, and the church. That's the focus of Airing the Addisons. Weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Jerry Boyer's with us. Before we check in with him, though, we have a testimony from North Carolina. Tom, what's on your mind today?
Morning. Good morning. We really want to convey our appreciation for your program. It is such a blessing. And your reference to Larry Burkett, he was a hero of mine way back in the day.
Oh,
so
wow.
And I encourage you, keep up the good work.
Well, Tom, thank you for that, my friend. What an encouragement that is. And I appreciate you mentioning Larry Burkett. You know, there's still not a week that goes by. Larry died in 2003, as you probably remember. And there's not a week that goes by that somebody doesn't reference the impact Larry continues to have. You know, his kind heart, his biblical wisdom, his just incredible knowledge of the scriptures, but also of finance, just made him one in a million. And God continues to use the ministry of the late Larry Burkett to this day. So thank you for mentioning that, sir, for taking the time to call and using your gift of encouragement. God bless you. Hey, it's Friday, which means it's time to pause and look back over the prior week, perhaps also looking forward as to what's to come economically speaking. To help us do that is our friend Jerry Boyer. Jerry's president of Boyer Research. He's a columnist at World Opinions, and his book, The Maker Versus the Taker, is what Jesus really said about social justice and economics. Is a must read. Jerry, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, as you reflect on the markets and the data that you're seeing coming out, tell us what's on your mind this week.
Well, it's one of those weeks that are kind of generally good for the market, and that happens usually when there is bad economic news, because remember, we're in that odd world, that kind of bizarro world where bad news in the economy is good news for markets, or when there's some kind of signal that the Fed might be loosening or not tightening as much. And both of those things happened this week. Those were the two market movers. One was that there's an index of supply managers. It's not very well known, but it's actually very important. And it came in this week, and it looks like February was in contractionary territory, and also worse than expected. So there is how high or low is it? If it's under 50, that means that the manufacturing sector is probably contracting. And also they expected 48, but they got 47, so worse than expected. And markets responded to that, I think, in an understandable way, which is to say, well, that makes it more likely that we're in a recession or entering a recession, which means the central bank is probably not going to hike as much. Because consensus had changed. It was expected the central bank is going to hike 25 basis points, and then there was talk about 50. And that started showing up in the futures markets. And that gave us a couple of weeks of bad market performance. And a Fed official said, we've been talking about 50, I think more 25. So you can see how markets are really still being driven overwhelmingly by one actor. That one actor is our central bank. Markets responding to how they think the Fed is going to respond to the economic news of the week.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, it's something we'll certainly keep an eye on. Jerry, what about just the overall health of the economy apart from the Fed, the consumer, corporate earnings? What's your read on where we stand today?
Yeah, corporate earnings so far are not very good. And you and I have talked about this on some of the KA calls for some time about how the earnings are going to keep going down because we had that easy bounce back effect from COVID. Things were so bad in the COVID shutdown that the year over year growth numbers in earnings could actually look pretty good. That's all gone now. Okay, so now we're into our new normal. And our new normal is we've got a lot of announcements of revenues that are declined or profits that are declined. So, when we get to the end of the quarter and they're all added up together, I think we're going to find something close to 0% profit growth in this quarter. So that's not doing so well. Inflation is stubbornly hanging on. You and I were both out the week before last, but new inflation data came out, and it's the inflation data that the Fed uses to judge itself. When the Fed says, we're going to keep inflation to 2 and 2.5%, then you ask, well, which inflation measure? There's half a dozen of them. Oh, the PCE one. Oh, what's that? Well, that's the easiest one to hit. That's the one that understates inflation the most. But even that was higher than expected and more than double their target range. For a long time, they said, we want this inflation rate, PCE inflation, to be 2%. Then later, as it went up, well, 2.5% is okay. And then it went up. And they said, well, 2.5% as a long-term average is okay. Well, 5.7%. And this is during the period of time when people were saying, we think maybe the Fed has beaten inflation. So clearly it hasn't. So inflation is still high. Growth is still low. And the only thing that looks really good is the employment market. But you got to realize that with the record number of retirements, with the working age population shrinking, that a low unemployment number could be a great economy, or a low unemployment number could be the effect of a labor shortage because, people are retiring early or actually hitting retirement age.
Yeah, yeah. Jerry, what if the Fed pivot comes not in the form of a lower pace of rate hikes, but that they accept a higher inflation rate, not 2% their target, but 3% or even 4%? What would be the implications of that longer term?
That's a reasonably likely outcome, that they're just going to, they're going to change the goalpost, and say, 2% inflation was okay. Well, really, 3% inflation is okay, or 4%, because the long run inflation rate, average is something like 3.5%. That's reasonably likely. Now, if you say that, it's like when you shoot for average. If someone says, I don't want to excel anymore, I want to shoot for average, you don't get average. Average is what is the average of what happens when everyone's trying to do their best. So if they shoot for an acceptable level of inflation, if they pivot that way and say, really, 3 is okay, well, they're probably going to get more. But I don't see how they can avoid that, because I don't see how you can avoid, how you can fight inflation at this level. They created so much money supply during the COVID crisis without having extended inflation for a long time, unless you really pull back hard. you know, and cause a serious recession. And no Fed has ever been willing to or intended to create a serious recession. Their goal is a near recession, just enough recession to get the to fight inflation. Now, you and I know that's all a crazy way of thinking. Yeah. That we're created to be creative, we're created to be productive. Our human productivity is not what causes inflation. You know, Reagan in his debate with Carter, you know, they were blaming, you know, people's prosperity and people are buying too much. And Reagan in his, when he was running against Carter, he said, we don't have inflation because the people are living too well. We have inflation because the government is living too well. We don't have inflation because unemployment is low or because we're a highly productive people or the economy is growing. We have inflation because the central bank created money to lend to the federal government so that they could spend outlandishly on their own projects and their own ambitions. Until we fix that, we're going to continue to have this cycle of on again, off again.
Yeah, very good. Well, Jerry, I always appreciate your insights, my friend. Thanks for stopping by. We'll catch up with you next week.
My pleasure. God bless.
All right. Jerry Boyer, president of Boyer Research and our resident economist here at Faith and Finance. All right. Back to the phones as we round out the broadcast today. Let's head to Michigan. Hey, Ron, go ahead, sir.
Thanks for taking my call, Rob.
Sure.
And I just want to be of help here. I'm not trying to usurp you by any means as the host of the show, but you talked about folks that have a Roth 401k option, and that's fantastic. And then when they retire, to roll that over to an IRA, the traditional part to a traditional and the Roth part to a Roth part. My comment is that they may want to open a Roth IRA before, like maybe 5-7 years, just the minimum amount, whatever it would take to open a Roth IRA. The reason being is that that starts the 5-year clock. What I've learned is that if you roll over the Roth 401k portion to an IRA, that 5-year clock for the earnings starts all over again.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, certainly that's something to be mindful of, and I don't ever mind you usurping my role here as host, because there's a lot of moving parts, and I don't always get it right by any means. But I think that's right. You've got to check on the 5-year rule with the Roth, including not only Roth rollovers but conversions, just to make sure you understand the implications of that. And I think you're exactly right, Ron. I mean, hopefully, if you're using a Roth, you've got time on your side. Which means, you know, the 5-year rule is not even anything to consider. You know, you're putting it in very early and you're investing over a long time frame. But it is something you've got to be careful about if you're trying to get it into the Roth and then immediately start turning around and taking those tax-free withdrawals. So a great point, my friend. I appreciate you weighing in with that. It's a really timely comment, and you're spot on with your remarks. God bless you. To North Carolina, Tim, how can I help you?
Thank you for taking my call. Quick question. I have opened a credit card with 0% interest for 21 months, and I have transferred about $16,000 to that. And I have another credit card that has about $9,000 on it. That's about 21%. And I just wanted to know where I should focus the extra money I have to pay those off. I get about... $1,500 a month extra where I could put towards my debt.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, clearly, if you've got $9,000 at 21%, I'd take full advantage of this surplus that you have to try to get that knocked out as quick as you can, because that one you're paying interest on. Enjoy this 0% that you've got. You know, if you really can focus on doing this yourself through surplus and snowballing it and playing the balance transfer game, that is an option. For most folks, though, they're not able to stay diligent on this, or they haven't corrected the underlying problem. And I recommend a debt management program where the interest rates are reduced, not to zero, but oftentimes cut in half. And then they pay through the credit counseling agency with the accounts now closed. And that's really the key to getting this finally paid off once and for all. But if you've got the discipline to do it, you've clearly got the margin, I'd focus on that $9,000 at 21% till it's gone, and then take the minimum on that plus all the surplus and go after the 16. You may end up needing to do one more balance transfer if you're going to try to keep it at zero. But I think that's a great plan. Thanks for calling, Tim. God bless you. Folks, so glad to have you along with us today. I couldn't do this without my amazing team, Pat Montague, Devin Patrick, and Jim Henry today, serving me with great research. Thank you for being here as well. Hope you have a great weekend. Come back and join us on Monday. We'll see you then. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.